News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. You know, I tell you, one of the cool things that God has done in my life is put me in touch with amazing people. And Chris May and his wife Karen are certainly two of those amazing people. It's really been something to get into this show for the last, 9 months? For the last 9 months, to get into the show and realize how many different facets of my life and relationships that I've been able to form over the years have come into play for this show. So let me just tell you, folks, I'll be honest with you. If you think for a second that your life doesn't seem to make sense or you can't figure out why God's doing this, that, or the other, just recognize it may be for another day coming. And that's the way I see it right now. Did not see a radio show coming in Phil Williams' life. I can tell you that for sure. But that being said, here I am. I get to take 30 years of military service and 8 years in the Alabama State Senate and time in ministry and time, you know, building relationships with people along the way and practicing law and whatever else. Every bit of it is coming together. But it's coming together in part because of y'all. So I want you to know that as I do this show is not about me. It's not about my message even. This show is really about y'all. And so thank you to this audience for making this show what it has become and for what it's going to be in the future. We appreciate that too. Listen, more to come on Ukraine. And what I don't want to do is pretend that there's not other news, all right? But I do have a stack of stuff here that I wanted to walk through just briefly, some of which I feel like we kind of covered, so I'm going to just talk about it and kind of move past it. But on Ukraine, that was number one of the Triple Dipper. Ukraine, what now, what next? If you missed it earlier, you might want to go back and grab the podcast because the very first thing we did was my monologue. My monologue talked about the fact that, yes, there has been a time in the past when the United States responded to the calls for a foreign country who was under attack by another foreign country. When they asked for warplanes, we felt like we couldn't give them because it was a conflict of interest or not in our national interest. But we found a way around it. And that organization became an all-volunteer group they called the Flying Tigers. So my monologue, the first part of the show, talked about that aspect of it. The fact that we're not in new ground. We're just retreading old ground. The next thing we had, though, was a very, you know, solid interview where I really just kind of sat back and let him talk for a minute. I wanted to hear what a guy named John Elliott had to say. John Elliott was on the show. He was the former chief spokesperson for the National Security Council under the Trump administration. And he rightfully pointed out that over the course of time in this century, that there have been four presidents. And of those four presidents, only one did not see Vladimir Putin or Russia invade foreign soil. And that was under President Trump. But that President Bush, actually, and President Obama, certainly, and now President Biden, have all seen Russia aggressively take foreign soil, Georgia, the Crimean Peninsula in Ukraine, and now Ukraine proper. That's interesting. And that was a good interview. So if you missed it, you might want to go grab the podcast on that one. It'll be available for you probably by tonight, if not first thing in the morning. And then that last segment, though, is just designed to make sure that we keep in mind ever presently that while we deal with foreign policy, while we talk about military action, and while we look at things from a one over the world view, that at the very least, we have to remember that there is a human factor involved. And my friend Chris May came on and gave us the nuts and bolts human factor, right down to trucks full of food and people offering rides to others and the number of displaced civilians and the fact that churches are rising up in their own communities and holding prayer vigils at 2 p.m. every day in the middle of an armed conflict. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the kind of stories we need more of. And I love the story he said, too, that the soldiers say that they had one Javelin missile left with a coming convoy of armored vehicles, Russian armored vehicles. They took out the lead one, but for some reason, the secondary explosions were so huge that it wound up wiping out the convoy. And they call that a miracle of God. That's the kind of thing that Ukrainians feel like they're seeing left and right. Well, I'm for it. I'm for it. Hey, listen, a few of the things that are in the news, and I'll just tell you right now, I've got them right here. So story off of Fox, this one came out today, as a matter of fact. Zelensky, President Volodymyr Zelensky, has set the ground rules for his peace agreements. In other words, he's willing to talk. However, he's willing to talk under certain conditions. And Copper, by the way, if you would, go ahead and get clip one ready for me, please. Clip one. Just go ahead and type that on the board, and I'll remember to come back to you on it. But Zelensky has set his ground rules for peace. In other words, what's it going to take to get together? Well, he gave interviews with Russian media. How about that? saying that his country is open to guaranteeing Ukraine's neutrality and its nuclear-free status, but that its representatives will not sign any agreement until Russian troops withdraw from the country. He also said the entire process hinges on him personally meeting with Putin and the Ukrainian people agreeing to a referendum to change the Constitution. What he's doing there is he's saying, we ain't doing nothing until your armed thugs get out of my country. And then, oh, by the way, I may sure enough agree to a neutrality and a nuclear-free status, which, by the way, they're already nuclear-free. That's not hard because they gave those nukes away 20 years ago. But then he also said, too, and the same people that you have been destroying their lives, the same people whose cities you've been flattening, they will be allowed to vote on it. And if they don't want it, it's not going to happen. Well, he's empowering his people, and that's good. I've talked enough about Biden's gaffes. I'm not going to talk about that story. But I will say this. He did go to the Polish border region to meet with Ukrainian refugees. And I think that was the right thing to do. I mean, I think it was a weird photo op. I mean, you know how Biden's constantly touching women, like he's standing there holding their shoulders while they talk to him, and I think that's so unnecessary. But nonetheless, I guess that's his alpha dog look. I'm not sure. But anyway, bottom line was he was there. But there's a story, though, coming out, mixed in one of the ones I read, too. This one off the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal is estimating the amount of Russian losses. Well, right now, Russia, which committed some 190,000 troops, according to this article out just a couple of days ago from the Wall Street Journal, they committed 190,000 troops, if you recall. They have lost as many as 40,000 of those troops killed in action or injured or captured or deserted, according to NATO estimates. That's not Ukraine's estimates. That's NATO's estimates. That of the 190,000 troops that Putin has committed to this fight, that as many as 40,000 of them have already been taken out through some means, whether it be killed in action, injured, captured, or deserted. That's amazing. Well, there's a similar story, though. This one comes off of a website that I pull from once in a while called 1945.com. Story came out this weekend. Headline of the story is, Russia's military is slowly dying in Ukraine. Wow. Says the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense. Now, a minute ago, I read you a NATO estimate. The Ukrainian Ministry of Defense claimed that as of Saturday, Ukrainian forces have killed approximately 16,400 troops. NATO estimates 7. There's a vast disparity there, but nonetheless, whoever's right, they're both bad. They're awful. Ukrainian forces claim they have killed approximately 16,400 Russian troops and wounded three times that many, destroyed 117 fighters and attack and transport jets, 127 helicopters, 575 tanks. Now, these are huge numbers, and I take them with a bit of a grain of salt because Ukraine is using this as a psyops opportunity to try and get inside the head of the Russian soldiers and of course, the Russian leadership. But nonetheless, it is, whether they're correct or not, the numbers are high, and it's bad. Well, one of the things that's got me frustrated, and Copper, you good to go on clip one still? All right. One of the things that's got me frustrated is hearing that despite everything going in Ukraine's favor, because make no mistake, Ukraine is putting the wood to Russia right now. They literally are. Ukraine is the David to the Goliath right now. The world thought this fight was going to be over in a matter of days. We are 33 days in, and Russia is having to retool its strategy. Ukraine is on a counteroffensive in several key areas. The only major metropolitan area that Russian forces have been able to capture is Kherson, and this past weekend, Ukrainian troops took back part of Kherson. That's epic. Well, one of the things, though, that really frustrates me is to hear reports right now that the Biden administration is actually urging Zelensky to make a deal. Why would you do that when you're winning? Well, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin is someone who I respect greatly, who I've had a chance to spend some time with. He's one of the founders of Delta Force. He went on to be a 3-star general. He served in the upper reaches of the military, retired a few years back, is a very dynamic and outspoken Christian and a speaker and an author. But General Boykin is often on Fox News. He works now for the Family Research Council, but he's a military contributor to Fox. He did an interview recently where he talked about that very thing. Why would anyone tell them to give up when they're winning? That's what clip one is, his response to that very question. Copper, go ahead and play clip one.
He's in his sales right now. If you want to know about trading land for peace, just look at Israel. How has that worked out for Israel? It hasn't. And all they've gotten was more rockets and missiles and more terrorism when they've tried to trade land for peace. I hope that our administration, I hope that America is not trying to get him to trade land for peace or get him to surrender. He is on the winning side right now. This could go on for a long time. But I've got to tell you, I don't think that you had people on your show that said before the Russians came into the cities there in the Ukraine, you had people that said, no, these people are going to fight and they're going to put up a heck of a good fight. And I think that they have surpassed the expectations of people like Jack Keane and others that actually said that they were going to fight an incredible battle. That's what they're doing. Don't tell them to give up now. Don't tell them to trade land for peace.
There you go. Yeah, Copper moves to a break. And listen, folks, that's it. Ukraine's winning this fight right now. Now, they're getting beat up in the process, make no mistake. There are whole cities right now in Ukraine that are being leveled. Mariupol's the worst. But that being said, they are putting the wood to the Russians. And the Russian bear is being defanged in the eyes of the world. What happens next? I don't know. But what we do know right now is Ukraine is winning this fight. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like Ukraine is winning this fight. And I'm glad of it. And pray for the people of Ukraine. All right, we're going to switch gears when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, breaking news right now. This one's weird. It's a breaking news story in a variety of ways, not the least of which is the fact that it is tied to Ukraine. I said I was going to switch subjects, but I got to go with this one. This story broke apparently while the show's been on. Russian oligarch and Ukraine peacekeepers suffer suspected poisoning after a Kiev meeting. You may recall that Vladimir Putin is known for issuing the poisoning, issuing the orders for the poisoning of his opponents. All right. Well, so right now, Russian oligarch Roman Abramovich and at least two senior Ukrainian peacekeepers have suffered symptoms from a suspected poisoning attack, but have since recovered. This is a report that just came out today in the last couple hours. Says, following a meeting in the Ukrainian capital of Kiev early this month, Abramovich and the two senior members of the Ukrainian peacekeeping team began experiencing symptoms that included red eyes, constant and painful tearing, and peeling skin on their faces and hands. Wow. Citing unnamed sources, the newspaper said it's not clear who was responsible, but the victims pointed to hardliners in Moscow that may be trying to sabotage the talks to end the war. It's also difficult to determine whether the symptoms were caused by a chemical or a biological agent or some sort of electromagnetic radiation attack. Well, that's curious. But nonetheless, it certainly wouldn't be beyond Putin because he's done it before. I mean, this is not new. I mean, I can remember back in the Soviet era when what was the guy's name? I can't think of his name, but the bottom line was there was a guy literally in London, I think, who with some type of a special umbrella, somebody walked up behind him and injected something into his calf in a crowded street, and he was dead and gone for too long. That's then, but then we also have most recently one of Putin's political opponents who was gaining a lot of traction with the populace and the grassroots, suddenly found himself poisoned and nearly died. And he went from being this kind of Hollywood-looking guy to now he has a face that looks like gravel, but he's alive. That's all very interesting. Other things that are happening right now in the news, just be aware that today is the day. I'm switching subjects completely. Just brace yourself here. Today is the day when they are considering the outcome of the Supreme Court nomination. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Of course, she did have her her hearings, her confirmation hearings before the Senate Confirmations Committee, Judiciary Committee, actually, and went through the entire process. Lots of questions, lots of concerns. We'll see what happens. I don't know that it's ever going to stop the possibilities of the nomination, but I would hope that recognizing that we have a 50-50 split right now. In fact, if there's a single Democrat senator out right now, they can call for the vote, and it won't pass. Now, by the way, Schumer's no dummy. He's going to count his votes before he goes to the floor. He's not going to waste the opportunity to put somebody on the Supreme Court. So don't let me mistakenly imply that Schumer won't count his votes and figure it out. All right. All I'm saying is this: it is so close that what they're really worried about is if the vote in some way stays too close to count, if they lose a member, like if somebody dies or, you know, whatever, then they don't have the votes. I mean, it's 50-50 with the Vice President of the United States being the tiebreaker. And on a 50-50 spread, you got no margin for error. And if they want to have the opportunity to put someone on the Supreme Court, they're going to lose that opportunity after the 2022 elections. Because I feel certain that what we're looking at right now, Biden's numbers are so subpar, they're just dragging down everything on the Democrat ticket. I mean, they are right now bracing themselves for a landslide Republican win come the fall. And if I'm not mistaken, senators wind up taking office, I think they wait till February. So it won't be like right away, but we're looking at, you know, we're looking at what, 11 months? Almost down to 10 months. And that could mean big doings. So if they lose anybody this close, if there's any one Democrat senator who falls by the wayside, or if they can't get the votes for whatever reason, let's say Manchin decides to bow up and say, I'm not for her, I don't like her. If he did, or if any other senator did on the Democrat side, then they have no means of getting this passed if the Republicans will hold together. And that's the thing. That's what's so interesting, is how often we see Republicans sabotage ourselves. I mean, we literally watch, they'll go up there, they'll have an opportunity to do something like repealing Obamacare. No. Or to do something that you know, truly means something on the budgetary processes. No. And it's going to take leadership. And we'll see whether McConnell has it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We have spent 2 hours talking about Ukraine. We're going to switch subjects, but if you want to call in, 866-494-9866. Love to hear from you. 866-494-9866. Got the news, and we'll be right back. Hang tight.